I know we're both tired, but if we don't do this, we're never going to do it this month.
I know. So let's get it done.
My night has been extremely wild. So instead of recording this many, many times, let's get this one recorded for the first time before everyone wakes up.
Please do. Please do.
So now that I had a major vomit explosion from my child,
Good.
and then, yeah, it was really gross. And then I had your child to help me, and he was like, every time he walked in the room, and he was asleep before mine was asleep. Anyway, so are we ready to get started with the story?
Think we're ready because we got to get this edited before I go on a vacation. Because by the time I come back, it'll be posted.
Oh, and by the
Yeah.
way, happy anniversary.
Ooh, thank you.
Anyways, so we're ready to get started on this
Yes, because this
story.
one's going to be a long one.
Yeah, a very long one. So
Ursa.
we can't ramble too much. We just got to get to the point this
This is
time.
going to be like a 2-hour episode.
No, we're not gonna ramble. We'll keep our thoughts to the end. So this story may or may not change your mind about taking another cruise vacation because since 2000, 361 people have gone overboard or missing from a cruise. Ron and Iva Bradley were planning to take one last family vacation with their two kids, Amy Bradley, who was 23, and Brad Bradley, who was 21. That's a name. Okay.
Poor child, poor child.
Anyways, I just can't not put my input in. You can crop
Wonder.
my input, but I
No,
can't.
this is the whole time I wrote this. I'm like, most people that's name is Brad, is legit first name is Bradley. So is he Bradley Bradley? Or is he just Brad Bradley?
I don't
These are
know.
questions I have. Because if it's Bradley Bradley, that's just horrible.
Yeah, well, they probably don't care. Well, luckily for the Bradleys, Ron won a week-long trip to a Royal Caribbean cruise through work. So, in March of 1980,
We go way back.
this might be one you had to do.
Give me take over.
I can't even get to the third line. Yeah, you're gonna have to take over because my head hurts and I
Okay. All right.
just
Luckily,
start from the beginning.
okay.
Okay, you say that, but we literally got two lines in.
This story may or may not change your mind about taking another cruise. Since 2,361 people have gone overboard or missing from cruises. Ron and Iva Bradley were planning to take one last family vacation with their two kids, Amy Bradley, who is 23, and Brad Bradley, who is 21. Luckily for the Bradleys, Ron won a week-long Royal Caribbean cruise through work. So in March of 1998, the Bradleys were preparing for their vacation. Amy, for some reason, was not excited about this cruise vacation. She was not a fan of flying. She was not a fan of being in the middle of the ocean. And my little side note that I put, I can't blame her. Like when we went, was it last summer? Summer before? I guess two summer, no, one summer. Some summer ago when we went on a cruise. If I looked down at the water, like I would get jelly leg, like ugh.
Okay, but the fact that this is named after her and you started the subject with people go missing or overboard, and this is literally titled Amy Bradley, I don't blame Amy. She needs to trust her gut and not go.
Yes. Trust your gut.
I don't even know what the story's about. I only got 3 lines in, but she knows.
You're just guessing really good by the title that I sent you, aren't you?
Yeah, you should have just put the Bradleys.
But the Bradleys flew down from Virginia to San Juan, and they boarded the Rhapsody of the Sea on March 21st, 1998. And I'm pretty sure, like 98.9% sure, that when we went to San Juan, I seen this boat dock there. I mean, of course, it's been like remodeled 1,000,002 times since then, but I'm pretty sure I seen this boat down there.
This legit boat?
Or? Yeah. Like when we went, because we went on our honeymoon to San Juan. And while we were there, there was a Caribbean cruise docked on the other side of the slip.
But how do you know it was this specifically boat?
Because it was called Rhapsody. It said Rhapsody on it.
Well, maybe.
So that's what I'm saying. I'm like, pretty sure. I mean, of course, it's been, you know, like remodeled 1,002 times since 1998. But anyways, so when Amy got on, she saw what all the fuss was about. She loved the boat. It was gorgeous. The cabin they stayed in was 8654. It was a spacious cabin, had a balcony. And for the next 2 days, the Bradleys had the time of their life, soaking up sun, swimming, spending time with each other. This next part that I'm about to tell you, Tamara, I've seen it in 2 different ways. So I don't know exactly which one is accurate because everywhere I've seen it, like both ways. So I'm just going to tell you both. First thing that I seen was Ron and Iva were approached by a waiter who asked for Amy by name. The waiter said they wanted to take Amy to Charlie's restaurant when the boat docked in Aruba. The second way that I've seen this scenario was the whole family was approached by a waiter, and the waiter asked Amy if they wanted to take her to Charlie's. Either way,
weird.
Yeah. So either way, the dad said this request was really uncomfortable. And Amy responded to her parents saying that she wouldn't go or do anything with these crew members, that they all gave her the creeps. And a little fun fact about Aruba, because, you know, like I want to go there. Even though a lot of people go missing there, I want to go there because it looks really pretty.
But, oh, my gosh. I'd go anywhere else that's really pretty, so I'm not going missing. Because I feel like this story is going to be about a missing person.
It is going to be about a missing person. But she doesn't go missing in Aruba. In Aruba, at Charlie's, where the waiters wanted to take her, is where Natalie Holloway went missing 7 years later.
From the same cruise ship?
No, she didn't go on a cruise ship. Natalie Holloway went to Aruba, and it was like her senior trip. Do you not know about that story?
I'm not good with names.
Okay. But she was
know a lot of people in the U.S. have lately gone out of the country and either died or gone missing, and me and Keenan agreed not to go out of the country.
It's legit.
So
Don't blame me. Okay. So while in Aruba, the family went shopping. Amy sent a postcard to her friends that she bought in Puerto Rico. On the second night on the cruise, it was the formal captain's dinner. So the Bradleys got all dressed up and they took the classic cruise photographs, which me and Anthony did those. They're so awkward. It's just so weird. Later that evening, Amy and Iva went to the fourth deck to look at the pictures that they had taken earlier. While the two were looking, I got a cramp. So, when they were looking at all the pictures that was, you know, taken by the crew member, they found that all of Amy's pictures were missing. Like, all of her pictures.
What did I just tell you? I told you.
So
they asked her what room number, and they've been creeping on her, and now they got all her pictures because they know who they're going to hunt. And guess what? They know her room number because they told them.
Uh-huh. So when Iva asked the gallery manager where the photos were, he stated he remembered developing them and placing them with the others. Ava asked the photo gallery manager to just reprint the photos. I'm going to post the picture, but the one picture that was one that was missing is like one of the most like famous pictures of Amy, because it's like the last photo of Amy that was taken. And it was like the one, I think she's standing on like the stairs of the cruise ship, you know, that like pose that So it's that one. And I'm going to post that one on our Instagram and on our Facebook page. But let's see. So after the dinner, the family went to their rooms. They changed out of their dress clothes and they went upstairs to the ship for the Calypso party? For a deck party, basically. There was a band that was playing and tons of people drinking, just having a blast. Well, around 1 o'clock in the morning, Ava and Ron decided they wanted to go to bed, turn in, because, you know, they were planning on docking the next day to go on another island. But the kids stayed out and they just told them good night, you know, before they headed off. Amy and Bradley decided they wanted to follow the younger crowd to the 24-hour nightclub on the ship. They didn't really hang out with each other in the club. Brad met some girls, and Amy was doing her own thing, too. Amy was hanging out with a couple different people. She wasn't just with one people, but she was seen with different passengers on the ship. She was seen with cruise members, and she was seen with a band member from the band that was playing on the deck with the party that I can't pronounce. And that was the Blue Orchid. This guy was the bass player and his name was Alistair Douglas, but he went by Yellow.
Okay, Yeller.
Why would you go by Yellow? Like,
maybe his favorite color is yellow. Maybe he pees his stuff and he wakes up and the sheets are yellow. I don't know.
So around 3:30-ish in the morning, Brad decides he wants to call it a night and go back to his room, leaving Amy on the dance floor. When he gets back to the cabin, he decides to go sit on the balcony for a while. And it wasn't too long before he heard the door open and Amy walk in. She joins him on the balcony and they start talking about their plans for the day on the island. Then Brad decides to go to bed, but Amy wants to stay out in the fresh air. Ain't no way I'm sleeping on a balcony. No way. Nah.
They said she was sleeping on the balcony.
Well, hold on. We're about to get there.
Okay, because I just said she just wants to stay out and get some fresh air.
It was sometime before sunrise. Ron wakes up and from his bed, he could see Amy on the balcony sleeping and Brad in his bed sleeping.
That's how you know.
That's how I know. So
she had too many drinky drinks.
She probably did. So like any mom or dad, you know, he sees his kids are back, everyone's safe. He falls back asleep and he closes his eyes for what feels like 30 minutes, he said, but it could have been longer because he doesn't know exactly like when he woke up and originally seen the kids were back. But something startled Ron when he was sleeping and he woke up around 6 a.m. and noticed Amy wasn't on the balcony and Amy wasn't in her bed. The only thing that was missing was Amy's cigarettes and Amy's lighter. So Ron decided to go look around for her, even though wasn't super worried at the time. He thought maybe she just went to the upper deck to go smoke, maybe take some pictures, see the ship pulling in to the dock. So he walked around. He doesn't see her anywhere on the deck. He doesn't see her anywhere in the halls. And time is going by and he's starting to get a little bit of panicky now. So while he's looking, he runs into the head of security of the ship and he tells them that his daughter is missing for about an hour now. Then he goes back to the room to wake up Ava in a panic. She said when she opened her eyes, she barely even recognized him. He just looked frazzled and she hopped out of bed, put on some clothes and started to help him. Today's podcast is presented to you by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space, so you always know how much you're going to get when you include an ad from Podgo.
Apply today and become a member and immediately be contacted with advertisers to fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. And make sure you add our podcast in the How Did You Hear About Podgo section of the application.
So this is crazy to me. They go to some of the officials on the boat and ask them to make an announcement, and the ship officials refuse. They said they do not want to panic the other passengers. But I feel like a simple, kind of like a Walmart announcement, like, hey, Amy Bradley, please report to the blah, 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 blah. Your party's waiting for you. It's not something that would panic all the other members of the ship.
Well, it would if some of the crew members have been wanting to adopt her since she got on the cruise. So
yeah, I guess. But I don't know. Like, I feel like a simple announcing should have been okay.
You would think, but if they get to something, then they're going to say no.
So since you already know this is all about Amy, let me tell you about her. So Amy was a trained lifeguard. She had a full basketball scholarship and graduated from Longwood University in Virginia with a degree in physical education. She also had a K-12 teaching certificate, and she had a new part-time job that she was starting the Monday after she got home. She also adopted a English bulldog named Daisy that she was about to pick up when she returned home. Also, she had another doggy named Bailey, who is being doggy. Is it sit or sat?
Doggy sat.
Doggy sat. Okay. It just both ways
it sound weird. It would be doggy sit in the present, but in the past, doggy sat.
Okay.
They sat it.
So she had a doggy that was being sat while she was on vacation. So she had a ton of stuff that was going for her. The ship officials weren't having it, and they...
But the ship officials weren't having it, and things were about to get much worse.
I'm like half asleep. Ship
officials wouldn't make the announcement. The ship was already docked at the next stop.
Thank you.
That's where you struggled at.
I did.
We'll just help each other out.
So they were about to lose control of the whole situation, because if something happened to Amy on the ship, people were about to get off. Like, the crime scene, I guess, would be like tainted. So they begged officials, do not let people off. They had to find their daughter. But at the end of the day, these people were running a business and could really care less, you know? So the crews, I did not know this part, but well, let me backtrack. I did know this part when I did this story. I did not know this part until me and Anthony was planning our cruise. But cruises do not have to follow any kind of U.S. laws or There you go. They only have to follow the laws of the ship that it's registered to.
Right. That's how I knew that if they were in a different countries, if their law was you don't have to be 21 to drink, then that's the laws that they go by instead of U.S. laws.
Yeah. So 99.9% of the time, none of the ships are registered to United States. Even if the ship like only docks at this certain location, does not mean that it's registered. So like how they were explaining it to me is like the U.S. laws have like more laws, so it's easier to get some international place to like register this ship in and just put the address of the ship as like Florida or Charleston or Alabama. But also is in the ship, the captain is kind of like the law of the sea, and whatever the captain says goes. I thought that was kind of like interesting. And thousands of passengers were disembarking off the ship to the island of Kurs. Help me out here. Kura. I don't know. Some island.
C-R-A-C-A-O. Karadako.
I don't know. So
let me look it up and then
you look it up. Okay. Ship officials would do a search on the ship to find Amy, but they did not find her anywhere that they looked. So the family's like, what do we do now? Do we stay here and question everybody that gets back on the ship? And the ship said, no, we have a schedule we have to keep and we're keep going stop by stop by stop. So the ship told the Browleys, we know she's not here. Maybe she got off. So if you want, you can get off here and find your own way home. So the Browleys had to like think over what they want to do. So they gathered all their things and left the ship. In an interview with her dad, Ron, he said, you know, we're on this island. Our daughter is missing. We have all our bags. We have no clue where to begin to look for her. And we're just looking out at the end of the night in this boat with everyone docked on it. There's lights. You can hear music. And everyone's just having a good time. So, you know, that has to be like heartbreaking. Like they see all these people, hundreds and hundreds of people like cruising off, which they should be just having a time of their life. And they're like heartbroken, devastated, scared because their child's missing.
Yeah.
So, all right. So they decided to go find the local American
I'm thinking it should be ambassador.
I don't know, whatever, to ask for help. We are recording this way past my bedtime.
That's the one who works third shift.
I know. Whenever I go on vacation, like my body flips and it's like come 8 o'clock and it's like nighty night time.
Yeah, well, we about 3 hours past.
I know. That's why I'm like, oh. So where they can
at least begin to search okay. the ocean.
Yeah, where they can at least begin to search the ocean. Amy was last seen on the balcony, so maybe she fell overboard. Maybe she went for a smoke and she fell overboard, or maybe somebody pushed her overboard. So they got helicopters, boats, and the Coast Guard to search the path of the ship went, kind of like, you know, the ship went, and nothing was found, just empty ocean.
I don't think the empty ocean. There's a lot of sea creatures.
I listened to another podcast, and they were like, you know, she fell off the boat. Everything that falls off washes up shore. And I'm just like, sharks? Like, could she not be eaten? But I don't know. Like, that was my first thing. If you get thrown overboard, aren't you getting eaten by a shark? Because that's my fear. I'd be, like, shark bait. Wah-ha.
Right. You would think so, or some of it would just, like, go to the bottom that wouldn't eat, or how do you know which island it's going to go to because you're in the middle of the ocean?
I don't know. But during the search, the FBI was also brought in to investigate. The family learned from the FBI that they made a mistake by getting off the boat. They found out that the ship was not really searched like they were told. Really, all security had done was look in the common areas, kind of like the restaurants, casinos, the lounges type areas, and the bathrooms. They left every nook and cranny untouched in the ship. And if you've ever, I mean, like me personally, when we did our excursions, they take you through all these different tunnels of the ship to get off the ship to go to where you need to be. There's tons of spots that a regular person would never see on a daily basis, like that they didn't even touch to search. So the Browleys decided that they needed to get back on the ship with the FBI. So they flew to St. Thomas to meet the FBI, where the cruise ship was scheduled next to stop. They knew they were running against the clock because they didn't have long before the cruise would be over and all their witnesses and potential suspects would be back to their normal lives all around the world. So the FBI does eventually get on the ship and they do their own search. In an outline of Amy's last moments, a man came forward with a film filming a promotional video for the cruise. He was in the nightclub the night that and had what we know as the last footage of Amy on the cruise ship. He gave this footage to the security officer on the ship, and what we see is Amy dancing at the nightclub. She was dancing very close to this man who was later identified as Yellow.
Which is the band guy?
Yes, yes. So let me tell you, there's something a little fishy about this tape. Like I said, the guy who filmed it gave a copy to the cruise ship security. Then he gets a call from the security asking for the original copy. He told them that he doesn't give the original copy to anyone and that it's just not something he would do. And if the FBI wants the original copy, that's fine. He'll give it to them. The FBI just has to, like, ask him for it. So, well, the FBI never contacted him. He never heard anything else again about this tape. So we're going to fast forward a few years. He's watching Amy's story on a TV show. Nowhere did they show this tape. Nowhere did they mention this tape. Nothing. So he kind of like contacts her family. They find out years later that the family never knew that the cruise got this footage. While nothing happened on the tape, Yellow becomes a person of interest. So now Amy is seen on the video
with Yellow around 3 a.m. The last time Amy...
The last time Amy is seen, we get a quick shot of her dancing along near the elevators. It looks like she's waiting for the elevators, and this is around 3:35, the same time her brother gets into the room. About 5 minutes later, Amy's key swaps into her room as well. Now the FBI is looking closer into Yellow and brings him in for questioning and a polygraph test. His story isn't lining up, and he tells agents that he last saw Amy around 1 o'clock. They had a drink in the nightclub, and then he took off in the staff elevator to his room to go to bed. But we know from the video that that's a lie because they were dancing around at 3 a.m. in the morning. Now, Bradley learns from the FBI that they are looking into Yellow, and he gets like this sick feeling in his stomach, like just a nasty like gut punch probably, because he remembers something that probably didn't stand out to him at the time, but looking at, back at it, you know, it's kind of like, it just doesn't add up.
Yeah.
The morning that Amy disappeared, in the height of all the panic, Brad was sitting at a table by the pool. Yellow came up to him and told him he was sorry to hear about his sister. Normally when, you know, somebody tells you this, you just say thanks, you know, and not think nothing of it. Well, at that time, it didn't strike him as odd. But thinking back to it, it's like, how did he know something happened to Amy? This was hours before anyone made an announcement. This was hours before the crew supposedly knew anything. But Yellow would later say that staff members woke him up at 6 a.m. asking him if he knew where she was since he was with her at the nightclub. But no staff even knew she was missing except for her dad at 6 a.m. So, yeah, like her brother and mom didn't even know Amy was missing until like 7:38. So how did Yella get a knocky knock knock? Like, Have you seen Amy at 6 a.m.?
Right.
So again, we know Hazel Lyon. Two girls found the Bradley family when they got back on the ship, telling them that they saw Amy and Yella together around 5:45 a.m. They were getting off an elevator at the nightclub, and they saw Yella giving Amy a dark drink. The girls said it was maybe Coke, maybe coffee, but to me, this is me personally thinking, if you're at a bar and you're giving somebody a drink,
it's not gonna be spiked.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's gonna be probably a drink, and then
that's when you watch the bartender. You get the drink from the bartender, and you say thank you. You pay.
So
you never let a guy hand you a drink. That is a no-no.
Yes.
No. I mean, you push people out the way to watch the bartender make a drink, and then you drinky that drink. You don't take drinky drink from no stranger. Mm-mm.
So maybe Yella was with Amy around 5:45, 6 a.m. that morning. So either way,
o'clock when he said, I'm sorry about your sister?
Well, no, he said that somebody came knocking on his door, waking him up at 6 a.m.
Oh, when shortly. She was with him?
Yeah. Yeah. So either way, we know he's lying. And Brad thinks back to this and he's like, how did he know something happened to my sister before anybody else knew? Something happened to my sister. Something. So the FBI questioned multiple people on the ship, but they never had enough information to determine what happened to Amy or to make any kind of arrest. Eventually, the ship docked and everyone left to go back to their normal lives. But the Bradleys couldn't. How can you go back home with your daughter, your sister, still missing? So back home in Virginia, the Bradleys made a website for Amy, trying to get national attention, but nothing seemed to help. Brad and Ron made multiple trips back to the island to search, and who knows if they're even searching in the correct spot, because they just assume that island that they docked at is possibly where she was. They had no clue. Like, she could have got off at any of the islands.
Right.
They just know she didn't get off in Aruba. Ron and Ava desperately searched for their daughter, and they would make multiple trips, appear on TV shows, and they even hired a private investigator. Since Amy vanished, many tips was reported, a few credible, a few not so credible, but one of the tips that did come in came from a Canada scuba diver named David Carmichael. He calls in and says that in August of 1998, just 5 months after Amy went missing, he was on the beach and he saw this girl walking along the beach with two tough men. He said that it was a weird interaction. He felt like she wanted to say something, but these men took her away. He said that he looked exactly like the girl that he's seen on Unsolved, and he went on and described Amy's tattoos.
Ooh, I got chills.
But this girl has uncommon tattoos. Like, she has a gecko on her stomach. She has, oh gosh.
A devil.
Yeah, but I was trying to think exactly what was on her ankle. I think it's like a Chinese symbol on her ankle. She's got the Tasmanian devil on her shoulder that she actually designed herself. And so the FBI said that this was the most credible lead, and they sent some locals out to look. But again, since this call came in 8 months after he actually seen her, FBI was not able to find this woman.
Wait, the Canada guy called 8 months after he seen her?
Yeah, like he was on the island on the beach. He had this weird interaction with this girl. Didn't know that she was missing or anything. 8 months later, he's at home watching TV, watching Unsolved Mysteries. Sees her and calls in.
Oh, so it wasn't like he saw her and was like, Should I say something? Should I not say something? He saw her, then saw the document that she was a missing person.
Correct. Correct.
So he had no clue who she was until after he watched the documentary and was like, hey, I think this was her. So in August of 1999, the family decided to get a private investigator named Frank Jones. Frank is an ex-special force. He had a team of men who specialized in these type missions of getting people out that was been captured or kidnapped. But he said he would have to look around first and see what he could find out about Amy. And it wasn't too long after Frank comes back with news saying that Amy is alive and she is on this island. She had been seen on the beach with a couple of scary guys, which fit exactly what David said. Now Frank said he needs to hire a team to get her out, but he needs $4,000 to start. The family sold their car to get the money, gave the money to Frank and his team. Frank goes away for a while, then reports back to the family saying that he made contact with the men. They do have Amy, and here's their demands for ransom for her return. He says, listen, we're not paying a ransom. I think my team can go in and recover her and get her out, but it's going to be pricey. I need about $100,000 to make this happen. Of course, you know, the Bradleys are going to pay anything to get their daughter back. But who has that time money sitting around? Do you got that time money sitting around?
No.
I ain't got that time money sitting around.
I ain't even got $100 sitting around.
So the Bradleys said, okay, but we want proof that she's alive. Give us something so we know that you have your eyes on her. So Frank gets the family some photos. What we see, and we'll post these pictures also, is a woman walking on the beach. You can't see her face. She has a hat on, but she has the same tattoos as Amy. Like, you can see all the matching tattoos that Amy would have. So this is enough for the family to believe that Amy is still on the island. So they send Frank the money. He lays out this plan. He tells the Bradleys, you need to go to Miami and wait for my call. When I do call, have a jet ready to come pick her up because we will not have time to waste. So the Bradleys get their bags together, get a bag for Amy. They're thinking this is the first time they're going to see their daughter in years. Her mom sets up doctor's appointments because who knows what type of shape she's in. And they flew to Miami. They waited by the phone for the call from Frank. Something terrible happens. He had to abort the mission because when they tried to get her, some of his men got injured in a gunfight. The Bradleys were absolutely devastated. They didn't know what to do, where to turn, or if they would ever have this opportunity again. They were about to pack their bags and head back to Virginia when they get another phone call. Meanwhile, on the island, one of the guys on Frank's team, Timothy, started to wonder if Frank was telling Amy's parents the truth. Frank had assigned Timothy to surveillance the location where Frank said Amy was. However, Timothy had only observed what appeared to be an ordinary family living in this location. While at a local island bar, Timothy overheard Frank on the phone telling the Bradleys that the location was under surveillance and his men were watching the house. And at this very moment, Timothy was convinced that Frank was conning Amy's family and immediately contacted the Bradleys to expose Frank in his lies. The Bradleys had sent Frank $24,000 of their own savings and over $1,800,000 from the Amy Bradley Fund.
No, $180,000.
What did I say?
$118,000.
$180,000 from the Amy Bradley Fund from the National Missing Children's Organization. Devastation set in when Timothy delivered the news that Frank had never served in the special forces and that his entire story about Amy was fake, Even the photographs of the woman was fake. How can somebody do this to a family? Like, how can you do this to a family? But the family...
ridiculous.
But the photos were staged on a Pensacola beach with a friend of Frank who resembled Amy. They even went so far to have two temporary tattoos match Amy and painted it on the woman's back and ankle to fool the Bradleys to thinking this was their missing daughter. In 2002, federal prosecutions in Richmond, Virginia, charged Frank with defrauding the Bradleys. Then in 2002, Jones pled guilty to mail fraud and was sentenced to 5 years in prison in order to repay the money. So photos of this woman who said looked like Amy surfaced several years after her disappearance. This picture is a like sex trafficking escort type picture. The woman goes by Jazz, and Amy's parents are convinced that this is their girl in the picture. And Tamar, I want to see if I can find this picture real quick for you to see.
I'm looking at pictures right now.
Okay, so that one is the one. Look up.
This is the staircase one.
Yeah, look up Amy and Jazz, I think. J-A-Z-Z. It may be two Z's. But I feel like it kind of looks like hair. Her. Yeah, and it's like really curly and poofy.
Okay, yeah, I see that one too.
That's the one that surfaced and her parents were like, that's our daughter. Like, it looks like her. They said that it looks like her, but she looks broken and worn. Compared to what she would.
She's got the same tattoos. It'd be easy to. I mean, they look identical. And if they have the same tattoos, how convenient is that?
Mm-hmm. So another tip that came in was from a U.S. Navy officer who had visited a brothel in 1999. He reported seeing her. After he saw Amy in People's Magazine, he claimed he approached Amy and another woman sitting at a table. He said the woman began saying that her name was Amy Bradley and begged for help. When he responded, there was a Navy ship down the road. She said, "You don't understand. I can't leave. Help me. Please help me." The naval officer claimed he dismissed her pleas and he wasn't aware that she was missing, so he didn't say nothing because he didn't want his commanding officers to find out that he was there. I'm like, dude, if somebody's asking you to help them, please, you don't understand. Please help me. Help the person.
Yeah, for real. They're not just going to say that just for fun.
This didn't get reported for like several months or I think even several years. And if you have any helpful information, please call it in.
So all that was just fake about the hope that she was on the island?
I don't know about David Carmichael, the scuba diver who said he's seen her.
Yeah.
That could have been truthful. But everything that Frank said, the private investigator, was a lie.
That's messed up.
Yeah. It's a lie. So do you have our dum-dum?
All right. So this one is a man caught on a camera licking a doorbell.
Ew?
Yeah.
Was it like a ring and he was like, la, 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 la.
Well, we actually have a video. I can't seem to see how to play it, but it says video shows a man who is wearing a Miami Hurricanes shirt standing outside the home before leaning in to lick the doorbell several times.
Ew. Ew.
So let me see if it'll let me play it. No, it won't. So I'll try to find that and get that uploaded.
That is just natty.
Yeah. So, dumb dumb of the day, do not just go lick somebody else's doorbell. That's not okay.
Unless it's your family and you are like me and you would be like, Tamara.
No, that is disgusting. So, yeah, that is our dumb dumb.
That is.
So, Leslie, where can they find us at on Facebook?
They can find us at TCWI Discussion Group.
And on Instagram?
At TCWI underscore podcast underscore.
And on our Patreon?
At Patreon / the crimes we're into. Or you can go to our website that has the link, which is thecrimeswereinto.com.
So make sure you go on there. You follow us on the purple iPhone app. You like, subscribe, and give us 5 stars.
Tell us how great we are. If you think we suck, just go on.
Just don't leave any stars. Just don't put no stars. Just leave it alone and just love us from far. So, anything else you got?
No, I think that's it.
All right. Well, bye.
Bye.
See you next time.